You're listening to The World Cafe. Hey, I'm Kaleo. The Avett Brothers sound has grown in size and scope in the last decade, something you could really hear on Closer Than Together, their adventurous 2019 release. But on their new album, The Third Gleam, Scott and Seth Avett take a different turn and bring things back to their roots. No big band, no synths, no electric guitar, just the brothers and their longtime bassist, Bob Crawford, for a series of songs that remind you why people fell in love with this band in the first place. Their lyrics, their honesty, the feeling that you could be in the room right there up close with them as they sing their hearts out. One of the most fascinating things about Scott and Seth is how their songwriting process is in harmony with one another. Both brothers brought their own songs to the Third Gleam sessions, but they seem content to share credit in a way that many artists might not. They'll talk about what makes that work, their auto racing roots in North Carolina, and they reflect on 20 plus years of making music together. Let's get started with the live performance of Victory. It's the Avett Brothers on World Cafe.
I don't write 'cause I don't think, I don't have a need to speak, I don't see the bright side quite as clear. Accolades and happy days, they don't ever last. Stories of courage clouded up with fear. In the broom grass I would lie, glimmer in my eye. The sun smiled back on me, from victory I tried. To match eternal life with how I led my life. Of course I was forced to retreat. From victory, I accept defeat. Waxy green and yellow walls, outside my windows fall, covering the light I thought I'd see. Am I sad or am I sick? What's at the root of it? Do I throw my hands and quit? Something tells me no. In the broom grass I would lie, glimmer in my eye. The sun smiled back on me, from victory I tried. Match eternal life, how I led my life. Of course I was forced to retreat, and from victory I accept defeat. Worries on all sides of my mind, in silence my darkness is denied. In the broom grass I would lie, glimmer in my eye. The sun smiled back on me, from victory I tried. To match eternal life, how I led my life. Of course I was forced to retreat, and from victory I accepted defeat. And from victory I accept defeat.
It's the Avett Brothers with a performance of Victory recorded live for the World Cafe. It's from their new album, The Third Gleam, which picks up on the Gleam series of albums, last one coming in 2008. You're listening to the World Cafe. I'm Kaleo. Seth, Scott, it's nice to talk. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. Good to be here.
Thank you.
You know, live music has been, I mean, in a lot of ways, it's been an adventure over the last, you know, 8 months or 7 months, trying to sort of make sense of this new reality, but still be able to reach and connect with people through music. And you guys had something that I think is kind of incredible. It's a rare feeling amongst musicians. You had the chance to play a couple of live shows. You returned just recently to the infield of Charlotte Motor Speedway, which is a giant, giant racetrack, to play drive-in concert, Victory Lap, the second show during the pandemic that you've been able to sort of put on this large scale. Can you talk a little bit about what that's been like and what that feeling was like after, you know, sort of not being able to play live music for such a long time?
Well, one, we were very careful about, like, we were really anxious to play again. You know, we were going to tour a lot this year. So we were very thoughtful in how we were going to present that. We wanted it to be presented professionally and to the most people possible. So we took our time, you know, that's why we didn't play until August. I would say, just like any tour, when we take off the first couple of days of the tour, we get our sea legs, if you will. We get acclimated to performing again. Playing a drive-in show for, you know, 1,500 cars in a massive, like you said, a giant area. Like, what is it, four Panther stadiums? So four NFL stadiums can fit within this speedway. And so the first one, we took it very seriously. We had a blast doing it, but we took it very seriously and we learned a lot. And this last one was a little more, we knew what we were going into.
Yeah. Was there a moment though, like, I imagine there must have been a moment on stage where it almost felt normal and there was the usual joy and excitement that comes from being on stage in front of a live audience?
There was that. And it felt really good because there's something about that, that environment and that, you know, 6 month buildup that made the first performance, really both these performances, a little more of a mentally kind of challenging endeavor, you know, because they both were streaming. There's something about the streaming element that makes me feel at least like, you know, more pressure to not make mistakes, you know, not play a wrong chord, not forget the lyrics, not, you know, get too comfortable and say something that doesn't hit home or is confusing or something. There's just more pressure that I volunteered for because of 6 months of kind of, you know, slowly, haphazardly detaching myself from this significant thing that I generally have my identity wrapped up in, which is performance, you know, playing shows, a bunch of shows every year for 20 years. So, you know, for us to be away from it for 6 months and then be like, okay, we're going to go back to it for this one show, but there's going to be this added pressure. But yeah, there were many moments in both shows where I was able to loosen up and just be like, man, this really is fun.
You know, I saw you guys arrive via automobile transport, taking a lap around the track. Were either, you know, North Carolina, were either one of you NASCAR guys growing up?
Well, we actually lived very close to a smaller track. The Concord Motor Speedway was a dirt track that, you know, our dad made a living as a welder. So he would help some of the local drivers, like, weld their car during the week. And then Saturday night was race night. So that was our relationship with racing. It was very, very grassroots, if you will. And it was rough and it could get rowdy. I mean, I liken it to sort of the small, like the club circuit in bands, just like scraping every penny to put a car together to get it on the track on Saturday night. So that was our experience. NASCAR was right up the road, but we knew it. We heard it. We knew about it. We knew people. We went to school with family members of, like, Dale Earnhardt, and everybody knew somebody. So that's how it was. But so we were just born into it.
Oh, I look forward to you guys starting your own race team
And oh, yeah.
Would you do that if you could have a driver, have a car?
We love the whole NASCAR system, and we've gone to races and just, I mean, been blown away by the fun and the spectacle and the danger. But I think it might be best left to the professionals on that.
Maybe start on the dirt tracks. We're here with the Avett Brothers. This is The World Cafe. The new album is The Third Gleam. Next, a performance of Back Into the Light. Who brought Back Into the Light into the recording session?
I did.
All right, Scott. Well, there's a line in the song it's a series of lines in the song that stuck with me. Sometimes I don't see love in anything. And then just when I surrender to my shadow, I snap out of it and step into the light. Which I think, you know, a lot of people can sort of relate to, but I was curious, was there a particular moment that caused you to feel like you weren't in the light?
I mean, they happen all the time, you know, this constant ebb and flow of dips and turns. I think that it's very normal. I think, that's lamenting the fact that I and probably a lot of people, probably most people, just haven't ever gone off the edge completely. To go into that darkness is very normal. It's not something to feel ashamed of. You know, when you regret or feel bad about, oh, I shouldn't feel this way, but that's okay. But you don't have to be that way. You don't have to be that feeling. You know, this old, there's sadness, but I am not sadness.
Right. Not defined by it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not now I define. Yeah, exactly. That's it. Exactly. It. So that was the point.
Let's listen to a performance of Back Into the Light. It's on the World Cafe.
All of these fathers with their bald spots pull to the car line, dropping kids off. The sons and daughters of their parents' wombs. Parents of their own. It makes some sense if some was made to me. Sometimes I don't see love in anything. And just when I surrender to my shadow, I snap out of it. I step into the light. I step back into the light. Sometimes my mind feels like a valley, so I take it to the bar and fill it up like an ocean to drown my troubles in. Just to find out what good swimmers they are. It makes some sense if some was made to me. Sometimes I don't see love in anything. And just when I surrender to my shadow, I step out of it. I step into the light. I step back into the light. Sometimes my dreams feel like a rusty rail I slapped on a coat of paint. And as the layers cracked and chipped and fell, this wretched lie is all that remains. It makes some sense if some was made of me. Sometimes I don't see love in anything. And just when I surrender to my shadow, I snap out of it. Yeah, I snap out of it. And I step into the light. I step back into the light. I step into the light. I step back. Into the light.
It's the Avett Brothers, recorded live for the World Cafe with Back Into the Light. It's from their new album, The Third Gleam. We're here with Scott and Seth Avett. I'm Kaleo on the World Cafe. So 2019's last album, Closer Than Together, was a record that saw you push out even further at the boundaries of your music sonically. It's a big, big sounding record, right? But The Third Gleam takes you back, I think this is fair to say, to the origins of the band. You know, a much more stripped down sound. I'm curious, what makes a Gleam record a Gleam record?
Cleo, I've brought this up a few times, but in one of my sheet music books, one of my piano books for, you know, mid-level young students, it speaks about how all the great composers all employ contrast within a piece and within a movement. And I think that we intuitively sometimes are shooting for that and going for that. And then sometimes it might be a little more purposeful, but, you know, in the context of a song that can really work, and a record, it can really work. And then also like in a discography, there is something about the simplifying down to just Scott and I in a room that is, it always feels kind of like coming home. And there's always for me, like artistically, that same feeling of like pulling into your driveway after being away for a long time, when we view the Gleam songs as developed just as they need to be, as they are, without messing with it too much, you know.
Do you workshop any of the songs together, or is it sort of meant to be, I'm bringing these songs to the session, let's see how they fit?
I mean, it's funny, like, I think people would be surprised at how little we have discussed any of this. I mean, there is not like a template, but basically the second thing you described is basically what it is. I mean, if one of us has like content wise, like an objection or think that something can be more developed, we would say it, but I don't remember any occasion where that was really necessary. I think partially because of our familial, you know, dynamic, there is more of a shared ownership, like this, you know, like this idea of ownership, which is just preposterous, you know, and just absurd, is something that we're very lucky because we can shed that pretty quickly because of the trust that we have for each other, you know. Mm-hmm. But I had a conversation with a songwriter, I don't know how many years ago, maybe 8 or 10 years ago, a very well-known songwriter, and she had some conflict with another band member because of like ownership over songs and inevitably credit over songs. Ooh. And I realize, like, I take it for granted, but I'm very, very fortunate to have this connection where my songwriting partner, someone that I just by being in association with him, like, sometimes I get praised for his talents, you know, or for his songwriting. And that just happens without me having to do anything, you know. But I remember saying to her, like, yeah, but does it really matter who wrote it, you know? Like, who cares? But that's a very fortunate and a very, kind of a lucky place to be. So I don't really know where I'm going with this, except for that we don't have to waste a lot of time on making sure that we're getting our licks in, you know what I mean? Because we trust each other and we agree that the ownership is the same for either and both.
Was there ever like songwriting conflict with the group, or was it just something that sort of flowed naturally where you can bring a song and someone go, that's great, let's go with it, and feel like you're holding something back?
No, we totally have conflict. Like, that's part of it. I think to say it is or isn't any one way for us to write is is not at all the deal. Like, we have conflict along the way. Sometimes there's absolutely no conflict. So 9 times out of 10, when you don't voice your needs, what you're hearing, and you haven't said, you know, this really doesn't sit right or doesn't sound like, I've made the mistake of not, like, removing myself, sidelining myself for who knows whatever reason. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have to sideline myself because I'm one of those dark places. And then later, after the song is made or a decision was made with the group, going, man, I didn't voice that. And I had an allergy to it. I had a problem with it. But 9 times out of 10, if you're not in a hurry to be the one that came up with the idea falls into place without you saying a word. And it's beautiful. And maybe somebody else got to get credit for it. And great, that's even better. That's good for them. You didn't, you know, it's okay. But you have to have that success along the way for your ego, I think, to be able to realize, oh, there's a low ceiling to that. That's not heaven on earth.
Yeah, and if you get that validation, if you as a young person or a younger person, you get that validation and you have outside parties, people outside of your family and outside of your circle that validate that you're worthwhile, that you're a good songwriter, you're a good artist or whatever, then it's a lot easier down the road to be like, hey, it doesn't matter who gets credit because you've already gotten some, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's not fair to lay that philosophy on, you know, one size doesn't fit all there.
And also, if you can have conflict in a loving way, then you get the benefit of the conflict of the song, for sure. You get that rub that it needs and that contrast, and you walk away still loving each other.
Yeah, that's great. We're here on the World Cafe talking to the Avett Brothers about their new album, The Third Gleam. I'm Kaleo. This is the World Cafe. So Prison to Heaven. I think, Seth, that's you, right?
Yes.
You kind of wrote that. What was sort of the genesis of this song, and how did it, you know, sort of how did it show itself to you?
Well, it was just a moment of what felt like an all encompassing loneliness, and that kind of that crystalline moment when you're inside your loneliness where you see that you have decisions to make within it, that it's not something that's necessarily been done to you, but it maybe has been done for you, and you have it within your own decision making process on what the next step is. There's always a choice, you know, and then just kind of having fun with that moment in a way, and seeing that when you are kind of that far down, there's still humor to be had, and there's still, you know, sort of fun ways to look at it. And then I don't know, I end up going on a tangent about this theoretical, meeting with Heaven's Gate, you know, but yeah, I mean, it just came out of a very lonely moment.
Interesting. Well, I mean, there's, it's, you know, jailbreak, a moment where, you know, sorry, Mr. Avett, right. I won't speak on it. I'll let people make their own judgment on it. recorded live for the World Cafe, it's the Avett Brothers with Prison to Heaven.
It's a hard decision, am I gonna leave this prison? If they tell me one more time to get in line, I'm gonna break away. But I'm sure that every single prison guard that walks around this prison yard is gonna have a shot at me if he sees me running for the gate. I'd be better off dead, full of lead, rather than delay one more day. Let my mind and my body rot away in this awful place. I'd be floating way up so high, looking down at all my buddies, saying, you chumps, you suckers, I hope one day you can find the guts to escape. Well, you might say, how come you're so sure heaven's where you're going? You ain't exactly been showing the ways of an angel. Glory bound. I must admit you got a point, but I got a feeling the ceiling ain't so far, and Yahweh just may want a couple words with yours truly. So I'll be walking right up to those big pearly gates, saying, hey, St. Peter, old buddy, old pal, how's the family, how's work, how's the kids, what do you say, how's about cracking those gates and letting a fine upstanding fella like myself join the club. Well, he might say, oh, Mr. Avett, you can save it. I ain't gonna be buying any of that lying, jive, hustling, bold-faced, fake, con man nonsense that you used to get by with down there on Earth. My goodness. And I'll say, come on. Surely you and God of all people ought to know I was innocent of those crimes, I told you so. Every night by myself in that cell, surrounded by nothing but gray and quiet. Well, dear God, maybe I should just be talking straight to you. The truth is I lost my way somewhere along the way. And if you got a minute, would you spend it with a sinner? Just long enough to give me some directions home.
Recorded live for the World Cafe, that is the Avett Brothers with Prison to Heaven. You can find it on their new album, The Third Gleam. Scott and Seth Avett are here. I'm Kaleo. This is the World Cafe. Your self-titled EP, The Avett Brothers, came out 20 years ago.
Yeah, the first six songs we put out.
What do you remember from that time? From starting the Avett Brothers, probably, yeah, back in
everything.
2000.
We remember everything. We do, probably.
I remember feeling like a eureka kind of moment. Mm-hmm. I think it was parceled out over a few months or maybe a year or something like that, but all the groundwork was laid with Scott and I independently and together, discovering a lot in North Carolina roots music. And when Scott and I were singing together with just, you know, he was starting to learn the banjo, it was just like, man, this is the thing, you know. It's exciting for so many reasons, because now we can sound like this thing that we love that's from here, you know, and we can do it with so little baggage, you know, and we can go anywhere and do it. We can literally just go to a sidewalk anywhere and do this. It felt like a really obvious but really exciting discovery, you know?
Yeah. And you said, Scott, you remember everything. Was there a moment for you that felt, I know I'm bringing it back to you.
No,
you know?
No. I mean, it was all that stuff. All that stuff happened. I mean, I think it was really our rite of passage moment in our lives. I think it was for Seth and I to get the first glimpse of who we are. We had been trying so hard to be something. Like, we had been playing music and creating things and finding out, like experimenting and, yes, discovering. But this was more about, more of like a revelation versus, you know, about yourself versus finding a jewel or a gem. You were actually sort of lifting the veil and saying, oh, this is who we are. This is how we sound. Like, I'd been trying to play piano and guitar all my life, and I picked up the banjo and I couldn't get in. I would not practice piano or guitar, just wouldn't do it.
No.
And why wouldn't I? You know, I wanted to be a great guitar player, but I picked up the banjo and I couldn't put it down. I could not play it. And it felt like my voice, and it just paved the way for us. And we did. It was magic.
The first two Gleam records came out, you know, in 2006 and 2008, was sandwiched by 2007's Emotionalism.
And that was like a time right when you were about to get signed. It was everything was taking off. Was there a moment you realized there'd been a shift, that things were moving to another level?
We knew there were a lot of people coming to see us. I mean, that,
yeah,
we had
evidence that I don't know. I think that we subconsciously were, I don't know if we thought we would jinx it or what, but we didn't really sit around and go, man, could you believe
not at all
how many people are coming to the shows now? And like last time there were 300, now there's, you know, 500. Like we never had those conversations. I don't know exactly why, but I think that there was something about, you know, I don't know. I feel like if we acknowledged it, that it would get in the way of the momentum. We rightfully or wrongfully, we always kind of felt like we had it, like we knew what we were doing, you know? And
a lot of confidence.
That's huge.
Yeah. And thanks to our parents, we had that. And they're obviously, you know, confidence can shoot you in the foot. But looking back on it, I still feel that emotionalism time period, we had really taken it as far as we could by ourselves. I'm proud of that record for us in a way that I'm not for other records, just because I felt like it was the height of what we could do as guys, like, in, you know, after, you know, 7 years of just going and going and going by ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
Our talent was sort of starting to catch up with our confidence a little bit.
A little bit.
We just didn't, you know, but you know, the good part about the confidence was our folks told us, you're special, you're going to be great, whatever you go after. It's going to be okay. It's, you know, it's going to be good. Life is going to be good. They just pushed that on us. And whether they knew it or not, we know they didn't know that for a fact, but they had some sort of faith and they put it to us. And that was incredible.
That's some quality parenting right there. That's quality parenting. Yeah. We're here with the Avett Brothers on World Cafe. The new album is The Third Gleam. As we finish our trek down memory lane, you brought something great for us to close out the session from your major label debut, I Am Loving You. Why'd you bring it today? What made you want to break it out for us?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, we maybe alluded to this a little bit, but we're generally just into whatever feels kind of exciting at the moment, you know, and because of the Speedway shows, doing them pared down, less of the band, less of the crew, we took it as an opportunity to explore some of these songs, some of our better known songs, but that we generally, or we normally present them with the full band and full drums and all that, to kind of reimagine them.
In a way, maybe the way they started, you know, the way they were written in a way.
Yeah. And so I Am Loving You just, it feels kind of exciting right now because it feels new again, you know, because it feels new again, because of the instrumentation, because of the moment and because of the rhythm. And it makes us hear it in a new way and sing it in a new way. And we're new people. So we thought we'd share it.
Awesome. We appreciate it. Let's hear it. I Am Loving You. It's the Avett Brothers recorded live for the World Cafe.
Load the car and write the note. Grab your bag and grab your coat. Tell the ones that need to know. We are headed north. One foot in and one foot back. But it don't pay to live like that. So I cut the ties and I jump the tracks. For never to return. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. You wear the shape I'm in. My hands, they shake, my head, it spins. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. Now when at first I learned to speak, I used all my words to fight. With him and her and you and me. Oh, but it's just a waste of time. Lord, it's such a waste of time. That woman, she's got eyes that shine like a pair of stolen polished dimes. She asked to dance, I said it's fine. All right, Mom. I see you in the morning time. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. You wear the shape I'm in. My hands, they shake, my head, it spins. Lord, it spins. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. Three words that became hard to say. I and love and you. What you were then, I am today. Look at the things I do. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. You wear the shape I'm in. Hands they shake, my head it spins. Lord, it spins. Oh, Brooklyn, Brooklyn, take me in. Dumbed down and numbed by time and age. Our dreams to catch the world, the cage. The highway sets the traveler stage. All exits look the same. Three words became hard to say. I and love and you. I and love and you. I and love and you.
It's the World Cafe. That's the Avett Brothers, recorded live, a special session for us. That's I and Love and You. Their new album is The Third Gleam. Scott, Seth, this was an absolute pleasure. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show and hanging with us.
Thank you, Claire. Much appreciated. We always enjoy hanging out with you guys.
All right. Well, next time you're in Philly when this whole thing blows over, please come by and see us, okay?
Can't wait. Thank you, Paul.
All right. We'll be back in a moment on the World Cafe.